Good afternoon. Really lovely to be here with you all. See the ladies of Cranbrook and surrounding areas. Yes, so I live just outside Tunbridge Wells, and I'm married to Andy, who's Scottish, and I grew up in Cardiff, and we have two boys, Mackenzie, who you've just heard about, who's now seven, and Denver, his younger brother, who is four. And I'm quite enjoying having an afternoon child free. It's really nice, isn't it? Very refined, very lovely. So thank you so much for everyone who's put in all this effort. I've also brought with me my friend Hazel this afternoon, who makes me feel very old. Hazel is just 17, and you'll hear from her a little bit later. So I thought this afternoon, we've done a lot of eating lovely cakes, a lot of enjoying eating things, and I thought we'd take as our theme chocolate. I hope that's okay with everyone. It's a particular favourite subject of mine. So I thought we'd look at the chocolate making process and then see if we can pick out any sort of lessons for life and lessons for faith from the chocolate making process. But a little story to start. So there was a man who found a bottle bobbing on the sea, and he picked up the bottle and out popped a genie. And the genie said to him, "You've got three wishes." And the man thought, "Oh, come on, this can't be right." He said, "You've got three wishes. Whatever you want, you wish for it and it'll happen." So he thought, "Well, let's test this out. Let's see." So he says, "Go on then, genie. I'll have £1 million. In a flash, there was £1 million. He couldn't believe it. He thought, "Great, what am I going to have for number two?" So he goes, okay, genie, I'll have a sports car, please." In a flash, there it was, a sports car. And he thought, "Oh my goodness, this is great." He goes, "Okay, I've got one final wish. I've got to be really careful with this wish. What's it going to be?" He says, "Ah, I know. Genie, I wish to be irresistible to all women." And in a flash, he was turned into a box of chocolates. It's true, isn't it? Most of us love chocolate. I'm told that 9 out of 10 women love chocolate and the 10th lies. But actually, it can't be true because Hazel and I were chatting on the way here and Hazel doesn't eat chocolate. So, personally, it's one of my faves. Mel Gibson, when he was asked what women really want, what he thinks women really want, he said, "I think the answer to that lies somewhere between conversation and chocolate." And I thought, yeah, that sounds about right to me. And my favourite chocolate quote is this: "Forget love, I'd rather fall in chocolate." So I used to be just your average chocolate lover. And then some years ago, I got a job for a short time in a place called Hotel Chocolat. Do you know it? Some people are knowing it. I don't know where your local one would be, actually. Would it be Tunbridge Wells? So I worked in the Tunbridge Wells branch before I had my boys, and it was there that I had to learn about all the, you know, the percentage of cocoa and all the chocolate and all the different chocolate making process and how they grow their own cocoa and all that sort of thing. So I had to learn all about it and loved it. In fact, I worked there while I was pregnant with my first son, and I think as my tummy got bigger during pregnancy, I'm sure the customers just thought I was eating more and more chocolate. But I loved it, and I just love looking at things in life and seeing what we can take out of it, just going a little bit deeper with it. And seeing what we can learn about life, seeing what we can learn about faith from some of these very simple things. So let me take you through the chocolate making process. Firstly, the cocoa beans are left out to dry. So they're harvested from the tree and then they're cracked open, piled up, and they're left out in the heat to ferment. It grows in hot countries and then it just stays out there in a big pile, dries out, starts fermenting. And actually, it changes colour. And actually, this is the point where we get the development of flavour. So I love that thought of actually, you know, wherever in the world those particular cocoa beans grew and then were left out, you're getting a little bit of the flavour of that country and that surrounding countryside and all that kind of thing as they develop their flavour. But it does get me thinking about life. I wonder if any of us have ever felt like we've been kind of left out to dry. You know, almost sort of forgotten about. Or perhaps other people are getting ahead in some area in life and we feel like we're left behind. Maybe someone has the family that you would love or the house that you would love or a particular situation in life and you're just left behind or you're left out or whatever it is. Eva Perón, First Lady of Argentina, who the musical Evita was written about, She said, "My biggest fear in life is to be forgotten." One of my favourite stories is about a guy called Morton Kelsey. And he was just born as a little baby boy who had some problems. He was born and he had some problems with hearing. And his parents assumed that actually he had a lot more problems. And they didn't really know what to do with him and actually didn't want a lot to do with him. So instead of looking after him, instead of being completely delighted with their child, instead of completely devoting themselves to him, they hired someone else to look after him, a young girl by the name of Clara. And so she came in and she'd look after this little baby boy and she would rock him to sleep and she would sing beautiful songs over him and she loved him and she cared for him. And as he grew a little bit, it became apparent that actually his problems weren't that bad. His parents decided, I think we'll accept this child. I think we'll have him. I think we'll love him. And we don't need Clara anymore. So she was sent off. And he was too young, actually, to remember her for long. Anyway, so he grows up. And when he was a man, he came to a very difficult point in his life, very dark point in his life. And he was ready to take his own life. And just before he did, he said that out of nowhere, he didn't know where it came from, but out of nowhere, he just heard this song in his head. And it was just playing over and over in his head, and he didn't know where it had come from, but somehow, inexplicably, he felt able to face life again. It's like this song brought him hope. It's like it showed life to him. It showed him the way. It was like a light, you know, and he just knew, yes, I can carry on. Anyway, he went on after that to be a really successful author. He wrote 33 books, I think it was. And when he got to the age of 77, he receives a letter from a 91-year-old woman saying, "Are you still writing? Are you still alive?" And they correspond. And they find out that actually this 91-year-old woman is Clara, the girl who would sing him to sleep, who would rock him, and who showed him love. And so they arranged to meet. And so they meet, and this 91-year-old woman takes in her hands the face of this 77-year-old now little baby boy who she would sing to and who she loved and who she gave herself to. And she sang to him. She sang to him those same old songs of the good stuff, the songs that came into his head that night, the songs that gave him hope, that gave him light, that gave him life. And he just realized, yeah, I wasn't abandoned. I wasn't forgotten about. Someone loved me. Someone showed me what love is. Someone accepted me. I wasn't left out to dry. I wasn't left on my own. And there was a beautiful reunion when she sang to him all over again. He said, "She gave me roots I didn't know I had." And there's a great song written about this story. And the words go, "I hope we all have a Clara, singing songs unknown, songs for the healing, and songs for the coming home." There's probably times when all of us have felt, maybe not to that extreme, but have maybe felt like things aren't going exactly how we would want them to go. I know for me it came a number of years ago. I was having a great time working for a youth charity, and then all of a sudden I got very ill. And because I didn't know exactly how this was going to work out and how long it was going to take me to get better or whatever, I thought, actually, I'd better leave that job. Because it was a kind of herring around the country job, doing all sorts of different things. And I thought, I probably just need to like rest and give myself a bit of time. So I left that job. And so I was living in London, lovely big shared house, as you do in London, share a house with complete strangers, you know. And my bedroom was in the basement. And so I remember just going, okay, so now I'm living in this city I'm not from. I don't have a job. I'm in this basement bedroom of this massive house. What is going on? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, this is not how it's supposed to be. And I remember being well enough to go to this event, and there was the Watoto Children's Choir. Does anyone know the Watoto Children's Choir? A beautiful choir of African children, and they're all there because they're orphans. In one way or another, they're orphans. And they come together, and they live in these villages, and they kind of have family again. And they sang this amazing song. They said, "I am not forgotten. God knows my name. I am not forgotten. God knows my name." And I just went, "Yes, I'll have some of that. I might be stuck in this basement bedroom. I might not have a job. I'm not well enough to work. I don't know what on earth I'm doing in life. But I am not forgotten about. God knows my name." You know, I believe in the Bible, and the Bible tells us that God knows even the number of hairs on our head. I mean, I don't know if he literally counts, but I think what it means is he cares that much to know the tiniest detail about us, you know. And I'm like, well, if the God of the universe cares that much about me, then I'm someone that I'm not forgotten about. You know what else it says in the Bible? It says that he delights over you with singing. How amazing is that? I can't quite get my head around it, but he delights over me and you. He loves us. He's got a song that he sings over us. I think if we tap into it, I think if we open ourselves up to it, it's a song that will bring us hope, that will bring us life, that will help us go on. So do just remember, if you ever feel like you're a bit forgotten about, if you're a bit kind of left out to dry, you're not forgotten. God knows your name. He cares enough about you to know the tiniest detail about you. And he's even got a song. Maybe even a special song just for you, and he sings it over you. That really encourages my heart. So the cocoa beans have been left out to dry. What happens next? They've got to go through something, haven't they, before they get to the beautiful, delicious chocolate that we enjoy. Well, the next thing that happens is that the cocoa beans go through a grinding process. It sounds so nice to go through this bit, does it? But the cocoa bean shells are cracked, and the husks are separated from the cocoa nibs. The cocoa nibs are the bit that we want to make our chocolate. And then it's ground, the cocoa nibs are ground to form a paste called the cocoa mass. So when you're looking on chocolate and it tells you the percentage in there of cocoa, it's the percentage of cocoa mass. And that makes up the chocolate. So they're ground. And I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me feel like, makes me think of the daily grind. I don't know what your daily grind is. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's the relentlessness of work. Maybe it's the chores in the house. Maybe it's just trying to keep up with, I don't know, doctor's appointments, and have I been in touch with that family member, or maybe it's raising kids. Whatever your daily grind is, mine is very much raising two little boys. That is what I face at the moment, you know, the day-to-day. In fact, hot off the press, I'll give you a little nugget. This was yesterday's highlight from my 7 and 4-year-old boys. They're very active, they're very physical. So on the way to school, we had tears from my youngest, he's 4. Tears from here. I said, "Oh, what's the matter, sweetheart?" "Oh, my finger's bleeding. It really hurts." "Oh, sweetheart," I said, "that's such a shame. How did that happen?" "It's when I punched my brother in the mouth." Zero sympathy. You punch him in the mouth, he's got teeth, it's going to hurt. So that's my daily grind currently. Plato said, "Of all the animals, the boy is the most unmanageable." Apparently. Although I'm sure if you have girls, you also find them tricky to manage. But I tend to find that there's a real kind of help, there's a real healing in when you find that someone else is going through something similar. Do you find that? Like, whatever it is in life. You know, I used to think, when I became a mum, for example, I used to think, well, anyone else who's got kids, I've immediately got a bond with them. And then I found some parents who had children that seemed quite different to mine. They would actually, I don't know, do as they were told, or sit still, or not punch their brother in the mouth, you know. And so now I find it really encouraging when I just occasionally come across another parent who seems to have quite the same situation as me, and they're children seem quite as bonkers hanging off the rafters as, you know, as mine. And that brings me real, I go, somehow it feels better, doesn't it? Somehow you just feel like, oh, someone's been there. You know, even better if they're a stage ahead and they go, no, it's okay and it's manageable and you can get to the next stage and it's survivable. And that's even better and we find it really comforting. But I tell you what I love. For me, the God of the Bible stands alone because he came and took human form. It's not like he stays up in heaven and just looks down on us going, oh, you're making a bit of a mess of that, aren't you? It's like he's actually come here. He's walked on earth as a human. This is what the New Testament says. He made himself nothing. You know, he's God, but he made himself to be nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. I find that encouraging that he's been there and done it. You know, he's been human. He's had a human body. He's had to deal with all the stuff of life. I love these words of a song I've been listening to recently. When I am in the storm is not in me. You know, even if we're facing tough stuff, it can feel like a storm all around us. And yet somehow, God can make a peace in us so that it doesn't feel like a storm inside. The storm can be raging all around us. And yet, wow. He centers me. He knows what it's like to have walked this earth. And he can bring a peace so the storm isn't raging inside me. And I somehow can navigate my way through it. So if you are finding yourself in the daily grind, I would say try and take some encouragement from the fact that God became human. He's walked this earth. He might not have done your exact situation, but he knows what it's like to be a person. He doesn't expect all this stuff from us that he's never done himself. He loved us enough to come down and be one of us. And he walks with us through our storms. And then the final part of the chocolate making process that I would share with you is the chocolate is conched. Funny old word that. We don't really use it in any other situation in life, I don't think, do we? Don't think anything else is conched. Anyway, the chocolate is now conched, which is basically a mixing process. It's just basically mixed. Mixed and mixed and mixed for hours and hours and hours. And that's where the flavour is sort of becomes smoother and smoother. So actually a chocolate connoisseur could really tell the difference between a chocolate that's been conched for, say, 96 hours compared to one that's been conched for 120 hours. At Hotel Chocolat, we would have ones that would say conched for 120 hours. For those people who cared. But just it almost gets smoother and smoother, you know, the flavour as it's conched more and more. But, you know, we all have times in life when things are mixed up, don't we? You know, things are a little bit mixed up. There's times of change. We don't quite know how it's going to work out. I love this story about when things getting mixed up. So there was a man and a woman, and they started corresponding. They'd never met, but he was away. They were in the States, and he was away in the war. And they started corresponding. I think it actually started because he was reading a book of poetry, and he found some sort of notes written in the side of it and found out who the book had belonged to, and it was this woman. And then they started corresponding because he really liked the notes that she'd written, and then they started writing back and forth. And he found this a really helpful companionship as he was away at war, and they would write to each other. And I think on a couple of occasions he said, oh, you know, we should send photos. You send me a photo of yourself. And she refused every time, but carried on writing. Anyway, it was time for him to come back from the war, and they agreed to meet. And they agreed to meet at Grand Central Station in New York. And the deal was they were going to meet at a certain time, and she was going to wear a red rose so that he would be able to recognise her. So he arrives at the station, all excited, and he notices this beautiful woman. She's got a green skirt suit on, all this flowing hair, absolutely lovely, looks beautiful, brushes past him, and he's sort of quite excited, and then she runs off, and he's like, oh, maybe it wasn't her then. And as the crowds part, he sees this quite different looking woman wearing a red rose. She's sort of short and stout and little round glasses and not quite the picture he'd been hoping for when he saw this other woman. But he thought, you know what? She gave me companionship all the way through the war. I'm going to stick to my word. I'm going to go and meet her. So he goes up to this little older lady and says, you must be the woman I'm waiting to meet. It's wonderful to meet you. And she says, listen, son, I don't know what all of this is about, but that woman in the green suit just gave me this red rose to wear. And she said, if you come up, and only if you come up and speak to me and introduce yourself, to tell you that she's waiting across the road for you to have dinner with you. How great is that? I love that. Talk about things not being quite as they seemed and times have changed. But times of... Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? But times of change are inevitable in life, aren't they? You know, things are mixed up, things that life takes a different turn. The author Faith Baldwin wrote, time is a dressmaker specialising in alterations. It's kind of what happens, isn't it? But let me offer you this little nugget. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that really centres me, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. None of us do, actually. We don't know what twists and turns life is going to take. But I love that there's something that centres me, someone who always stays the same, someone who in the loveliest way is predictable, I guess. You know, I know what his character is. And I know I can rely on that. And that might not be the same for everyone I meet in life, but I know that he stays the same. And I find that a real comfort. Hazel, would you like to come up now? I just want to give Hazel a chance to just tell you a little something, because does Hazel need a microphone? Okay. You could use this.
I can speak loudly. It's okay.
You can get very close.
Come here. Oh, there we are. Let's do that. So I just wanted Hazel to have a chance to just say a very quick something to you, because Hazel, you're 17, aren't you?
Yes, I'm 17.
And would you just tell us briefly something about this whole area of things changing in life, but them actually working out for good, and how you've experienced that or something in your life?
Yeah, so the journey of God, everyday life is always going to change with your journey with God. Whether you're just starting your element of your journey or whether you're finishing it, but you should never finish it, to be honest. I don't know why I said that. Whether you're just starting to give your life to God, or whether you're still in the process of taking that faith deeper and everything. And for me personally, I gave my life to God when I was around 10 years old, but I've always been surrounded from the age of four. I've always been surrounded by the element of God. So listening to worship music, being in the car with my mum with the worship music on. And I've always accepted the fact that I was saved as a child. And to be honest, my life over in general has changed a lot. And I feel that because I'm an adopted child, and that might not come across as you as true, because as a person, I've changed a lot. I've had to go through lots of processes, which is important in the Christian element of life. But even if you haven't given your life to God quite yet, they're still important to you. For example, forgiveness, joy, and also thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that there's always someone there for you in the hard times. And to be honest, God is the true and only person that I look up to the most. Even if I've built some brick walls up because I've been through negative experiences, but to be honest, I've never left God's side, and I encourage you to do the same.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Hazel. That's great. So it's been great to spend a bit of time with you this afternoon. And it'd be great just to take away a little something, wouldn't it, I guess? And before we have another song, that'd be lovely. But maybe just think about which one of these is a good thing for you to take away, what you need to think about. maybe for some of us it's that this idea about kind of being left out to dry, you know, being forgotten about, or just remember that picture of that woman taking that guy's face in her hands and singing over him, you know. And the Bible says that we're not forgotten, that God knows us and he sings over us. That's how special you are to him. Or maybe for some of us it's feeling that brunt of the daily grind, and it's needing that encouragement that actually God has come to be here with us, and he walks it with us, and he doesn't expect us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. Or maybe for some of us, though we fear change, don't we, some of us, but knowing that God stays the same, he's our constant. He is what stays always the same. I hope that's been of some encouragement to you. Let me leave you with this before I hand over to Faye for our final song. Man cannot live on chocolate alone, but woman sure can.